Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's Carlos, still skinny, still looking good.
Hey, brother, how you doing, man?
How are you doing, my man?
Good. By the way, we're sold out, so.
You are?
Don't bother. Yeah.
I wouldn't have come in.
Don't bother.
I would have been like, forget that guy.
No, but we might have a show on. So here's the thing. Call the club, and if you're interested in a 9 o'clock show on Wednesday, he'll take your number down, and I guess if enough people call,
we may do another show.
I'll add the show no matter what. I got nothing better to do with my life.
No.
How great is that when you, what am I going
to
do?
When you travel, you don't have to take anything with you. You're just me. This is going to be funny. Exactly. I don't have to carry any equipment. Except this guy. You're going to bring him. Exactly. What's going on, brother?
So what was Bert saying about me?
Bert didn't. So the gist of it is, and don't worry, when Bert's here, we make it a lot worse.
Okay, perfect.
The gist of it is, I guess his woman had a podcast that Bert was on.
No, it turns out, Bert's podcast? Yeah, it was actually Bert's podcast, and okay. It's a girl named Eleanor Kerrigan. Do you know who she is? She's with the Comedy Store or something.
Eleanor
Kerrigan.
Oh, yeah, I know Eleanor. I think so.
Yeah, so.
She used to be a waitress back in the day.
Yeah. Right. So, she's a bang dice play show.
Yeah. She's Elf. Yeah, she's a great friend.
The portion that I just heard, I was just listening to, she's saying a lot of stuff about Carlos. Bert is basically just letting her talk.
Right.
Because it's Bert's thing, and he's interviewing her.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Bert is very non-confrontational, and Bert himself just admitted that he could be talking to somebody from ISIS and be like, yeah, I understand why ISIS is so popular.
Right.
He just doesn't have it in him. And he actually said he rationalized it in his head.
I get that.
He was like, I've never run into Carlos in 17 years. I have nothing to worry about being this uncomfortable. And I was like, hey, guess what? Friday. I had no idea. That even went down. So, and Bert's such a good guy, it's always better to make it worse for him.
That's funny.
You know what it is, though? I don't get mad at that because when it all happened, when all that stuff went down, you had to hate me. You were actually an asshole if you didn't.
I didn't hate you.
No,
I didn't care.
You.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I guess
in the comedy world,
right?
Like there were a couple guys that tried to be cool, and then they'd call me up and go, "Dude, you can't."
Yeah.
Like, dude, I just said, hey, I'm a friend of Carlos, and then all the emails and everything I got were like, dude, I can't go there. I was like, dude, I get it. It's fine. It's what I do. But I paid the price so that Amy and Dane can get off the hook.
You're right.
Like, ever since my thing went down, whenever anybody gets accused now of stealing jokes, everybody's like, no, it's not that bad. Come on.
Yeah. You know?
And they get defended because they go, dude, nobody wants to go through what I went through. Everybody's like, dude, that's harsh. Don't do that anymore.
What do you say when you see that? Because that probably when you see like a situation with another comedian like Amy now.
I don't, because at the end of the day, it's like what Bert said is what happens.
Right.
It's like a guy that says something, and then later on they go, I've never even met the guy.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, where else is all that coming from?
Right.
It's that kind of a thing. You know, the best one was, where were we where that guy, where those guys apologized to me?
Oh, it was somewhere in Texas, I want to say.
No, it was out here somewhere.
Was it?
You're no help.
But I have no help at all.
He's the worst road manager ever. Yeah, we're out there. I go, hey, call the producer. Oh, no numbers to anybody.
My defense, my phone is stolen.
So what happened was we went to this radio station, and these guys, long story short, they're like, hey, we want to apologize, Matt. Back in the day, we ambushed you. You called in here, and we had some comedian that said that you had stole his jokes, and we're sorry. I don't even remember. But do you have the guy's number? And they're like, yeah. So I go, can you call him up? They're like, yeah. So let's call him up.
Oh, wow.
So they called him up, and I was like, listen, I don't know who you are. I have no idea. This is back in the day when YouTube wasn't popular.
Right.
How did I get your joke? And he goes, oh, I never said I stole your joke.
Oh.
Yeah.
In front.
And I'm like, are you serious, dude? These guys, the whole bit was about that. Mm-hmm. You know, no, all I said was I was mad because I saw you perform, and you asked the audience for a standing ovation, and they stood up. I'm like, first of all, that's not me. I don't do that.
Right.
I walk off stage without saying goodnight.
That's my favorite. I was just mad because you were really successful. That's what I get out of that whole thing.
I don't even know. So
I don't care.
At this point, I don't care. I'm sure Bert's a nice guy. I've done shows with Stanhope.
Bert is a nice guy.
You know what I mean? He's a really nice guy.
But I can't speak for anybody except Bert.
Right.
I guarantee you at the end of it was like, I don't even know why I did that.
Oh, I don't care.
And he probably didn't say anything, but he probably just sat there and let her talk. So.
And Elle's a really good, and Elle's a really, like, she's really sweet.
Oh,
she's
no, evidently not.
Yeah.
Now we should hate Elle.
Nah, I don't hate Elle.
Oh, you're too nice.
I don't hate Elle.
Your life must be so good that you're always in a good mood.
You know what, though? I'm from Honduras, dude. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you can't go back there.
I have made more money in my lifetime than all of my family in all of their lifetimes.
That's a pretty good spot to be in.
Do you know what I'm saying? What am I going to complain? I can't complain. I can't call my dad who's missing a thumb and tell him, well, they were saying some bad stuff about me on the radio. He'd be like, hey, well, if you find my thumb, find my thumb somewhere.
What's the last cool thing you bought?
The last cool thing? Dude, I've bought everything already.
You have a drone? I bought a drone. Yeah, that's the fun thing.
That's fun. I got everything, dude. Here's when it was over. When I got like a $2,000 bill, $3,000 bill, or something like that for water and power. Because when I was a kid, I saw Godfather Part Two, and I saw that scene where they're overlooking the lake in Lake Tahoe, and there's steam coming off the pool. And I said to my dad, what is that? And he's like, well, when you have money, you can have your pool warm all the time. And when I had my pool warm all the time that was the last thing I ever bought.
That's when you go, now I'm rich. This is it.
This is it. That was a great moment. And when the Budweiser truck backed up to my house and my dad started crying. That was a great moment. Just do it. I accomplished some stuff. Yeah, that was it, dude. My dad never has said anything about my career. Ever.
Right.
Ever. You could say anything to my dad. Your son this. You said nothing. But when he came and knocked on my bedroom door and we walked outside, and the Budweiser truck came in and they said, hey, you're throwing a party, so get whatever product you want.
Yeah.
He teared up and he was like, I didn't realize you were somebody.
this was great.
The best, dude. My dad drank so much Bud Light.
Really?
It was the best ever, bro.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Carlos is here. Cisco is here now. Is Cisco getting any girls?
I have a woman. I can't.
Still?
Yeah, still.
The chick from Miami?
It's the same one.
And we didn't get any closer? She didn't move in with you or anything like that?
You moved in with her.
Okay.
I moved in with her. She owns the house.
He's the bitch in the relationship.
Yeah.
He's the one doing dishes.
Mm-hmm. I'm washing all the dishes.
Taking her kids to school and all that.
I'm the alarm clock in the morning. I'm like, hey, baby, wake up. Here's your breakfast.
What does she do?
She's a teacher.
And how long has it been now?
By the way, he is the bitch, by the way. Like as an example, if we'll do a weekend that's extra long, and we'll have like one or two days off, I'll be like, hey, man, let's just stay here in Michigan. Because she's gonna watch her.
I gotta make sure the house is in order.
Yeah.
I gotta go home.
And he'll fly back for a day, bro, and then come back a day later. We did that for Abu Dhabi. He's pee whipped.
You flew home from Abu Dhabi for a day?
For a day. No, before we went to Abu Dhabi, I went home for a day, went to LA, and then took an 16 hour flight to Abu Dhabi.
Holy crap.
Just to spend a day with her.
Yeah. He flew from wherever we were to Miami for a day. Oh. Then flew 5 hours to LA, then 17 hours to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. That is insane.
Yeah.
That's love.
Yeah. No, it's not.
That's love.
Yeah. That's whipped. That's love. Is what that is.
That was romantic. So weird being on a plane with all these Middle Eastern people.
Yeah.
Because when you're checking in, we're on Etihad Airlines, and there's three huge TVs, and they're all saying, if you see something suspicious, say it. So I walked up to him, and I'm like, listen, I don't mean to be rude, but I see something suspicious. And the guy looked at me like, what, all the Middle Eastern people? And I'm like, no, me, dude. I'm the person on this plane.
The one out of place.
I'm the one that doesn't look like the right. And everybody was looking at us, bro. And him especially, there's nobody that fat.
In all of Abu Dhabi, he was
the fattest person in all of United Arab Emirates.
You should have dressed like a sheik. We went to 1,000 stores
to try to get the kundura. That's what it's called, the kundura. That's what the Arabians wear. sure. So there's a difference between, so in Afghanistan, or a place like that, they the little dress goes up to your knees and they're different colors.
Yeah, yeah.
Or in India, but they're all white.
In
the United Arab Emirates. They're all white. We could not. We walked into one store that said, we have your size. He walked in so happy. And then he came out like almost crying. And I'm like, what happened?
They didn't
he said that they could make one for me.
They got to sew two together.
Their tape measure didn't even close on me.
Oh man.
Yeah.
He was the largest dude in all. And they kept staring at him.
Should have seen me at Ferrari World.
Yeah.
Do you walk around like a boss though there? Or do you walk around like an oddity?
I try to walk like a boss.
Yeah, I would have been like, I am the world's largest man.
But he didn't.
No,
because
there was a couple things.
Because you're waiting for the shoe to drop. You know what I mean?
Do you know the word? Like when I'm around Hispanic people, I wait to hear Gordo. If I hear Gordo, I go, I hear you. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
What's the word over there?
I don't know because they're really quiet. They're really quiet. So you didn't hear it? But the weirdest part was watching women who are covered and are not supposed to look at you. Not being able to stop staring at his face.
Get a little peek, out.
You could like see the eyes just and they're so not supposed to make eye contact with men.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be dressed up. Like I was like, right. Can't look at me.
It was crazy, man.
No, you don't. You fly first class. He doesn't fly first class, right?
I was supposed.
No, he was supposed to get a business class, but then they
messed it
up. Wink, it got messed up.
Yeah.
I ended up getting two empty seats. Though,
oh, that's so not
I was,
so bad.
I was okay.
But they really treat you nice in the first class. If I'm on 17 hours, I want to be one of those little bed things.
Yeah. Dude,
Carlos was nice though. He came back and was like, "You want to switch?"
And
I
did offer him my seat.
Yeah, the switch?
Yeah,
for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Man, you're a good friend. I would have been like, close the curtain and don't come past the curtain until we land.
He's back up here again.
But that's part of the reason why I don't listen to all the hate. Because if you know me, I would lay down my life for you. I would give you my motorcycles. I would do whatever for you.
That is a very nice friend right there.
That's what,
This is, by the way, this is Carlos Mencia. Carlos is a great friend of the show. He will be down at Vasani in Port Charlotte. Now, there's a show tonight and a show on Wednesday at 7. They may add a second show on Wednesday because all the other shows are sold out. So if you want to call them up and say, hey, yeah, we're down with another show because they'll book that.
And Thursday through Sunday, if you're in Orlando or close, you can go. And if you're like, man, I can't go to any of those, I will be back here the Halloween weekend.
Oh, good.
At the Improv.
Oh, good, good. Okay.
And I will crash Chrysler's tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Oh, for sure.
Friday.
Oh, it's Friday.
Friday, there's a call and sick to work show. Oh,
I'm coming in for that show.
We shouldn't
even
tell him.
For sure.
So here's what we're doing. So you ever watch a show Chopped on the Food Network?
Yeah, yeah.
So Galvin and I, for like a year, have been saying I'd be better than you. I'd be better.
Oh, really? Well,
this really fancy hotel, the Epicurean Hotel, they shoot a TV show. They built out a TV studio for a kitchen in their down on the first floor. So I went in there to be a judge one time for something else, and I thought, well, this is where we need to do it. And it all lined up where Friday is going to be the day we do the show live.
So you're doing it like Chopped, like they're pulling up ingredients?
They're bringing us ingredients. We have no idea.
They
have two full kitchens side by side right there in the same room, and they have a tiered studio audience that could be there as well.
Now, who's picking the food? Because if it was me, I would pick some stuff.
I don't want you to give me Honduran, Guatemalan.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I would make it like, ironically, Fear Factor-ish. I would make it so that, you know, it's worms. Like stuff that people eat around the world.
Right. International gross stuff.
Right.
But you'll have to figure out how to make it into food.
Like the little eggs that they eat in Asia, but where the fetus is already kind of,
there's feathers.
Yeah, there's like tiny feathers. Yeah, like that, like roaches, like a scorpion from Mexico.
Yeah, I hope you're not picking the food.
Awesome.
Will you be a judge?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, all right. Because really what's going to happen is, hey, Galvin and I have like headset mics on.
Yeah.
And then we can give you and your Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
We can give him the microphone. You guys can host.
That's awesome, man.
Uncomfortable hosting together. That's awesome.
I don't think the only thing of all the stuff that I heard that to me was like, really? Is when you said, no, he's really good radio interview. And he was like, really?
I think he just gets jealous because he likes to be our friend.
He is your
friend.
He
doesn't want anybody else to be a good radio interview.
I get it.
Like when he goes, oh, this is a really good radio show in Nebraska. And I'm like,
right.
Yeah, but he probably did. But I don't want to hear that. I want to be the favorite.
There are very few shows like yours left. You're a dinosaur.
I know.
You are. You're like back in the past. I mean, you know, they just don't do this anymore.
No, you can't.
And I got a really good friend in radio who quit because they were like, we want you to play 5 songs. And he's like, no.
We would quit if that was the case. Yeah.
I'm not playing music. And he quit. And he's been doing this for, you know who it was? Mark from Mark and Brian.
Oh, yeah.
So it was Mark.
So he's done now.
Yeah.
He's rich, though, right?
Yeah, he's rich. I mean, he bought a house out here in North Carolina or something like that.
If I got, let's just say that there might be dangling an opportunity in Los Angeles in front of me right now.
Yeah.
Do I take that?
Tell me what station it's on, and I'll tell you
off the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the numbers. So there's only letters.
Okay. And TV.
Okay, write it down real quick.
Yeah,
write it TV. Down. I know I am. You think I'm stupid? Of course stupid. I know. No, yes, right. I know.
Whoa.
That's what I thought. That is.
But not in the morning because they gotta.
I know what the morning
solid
show is.
Morning show. Yeah.
It's okay. So it's for the afternoons?
No, I didn't mean to.
So yeah, I'm the bitch in the relationship, guys.
No, you don't take it?
No.
Switch it.
No.
It would be a considerable increase in funds.
It would it?
Yeah. You get me to move to LA?
Yeah,
move the whole
true.
Show?
That's true.
Well.
I'm the wrong guy to ask because I think you're awesome, so I think you're beneath an afternoon-ish or anything type show.
Let me tell you, having done afternoons and not gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, dude, I first met you. You were doing afternoons.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
You loved it. You loved it.
I'm 45 years old today. Today's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you, but I don't want to
party.
Right.
And then you can go out. It's the perfect. It is.
You know what I was up all night doing?
Yeah.
Fifth grade math homework until 10 o'clock last night. Now I'm exhausted.
I will say this. There's nobody like you in L.A. So you would be.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering. If we went into L.A., nobody, there hasn't been nobody, a good show.
Nobody like you. Nobody like you.
Don't worry, Tampa. We're not Nobody leaving Tampa. Like we just had a couple of things come up that might involve.
And it would be, it would literally like them saying.
No, you can't come.
Oh, I'm kidding. It would be like them saying, hey, you know how you were supposed to do that 6 o'clock show on Sunday?
Right.
We're moving it to 9 o'clock, so it'll be a little bit better for you.
I get it.
And it's in a really cool place.
I get it.
Yeah.
Now, you would rock that place because there's nothing like you. You would shock them. You would get a lot of resistance at first.
I'd wear my way in.
Obvious haters.
I'd wear my way in.
Oh, yeah. But the people that, like me, would just immediately love you.
And that's the thing. I know so many people there that would be drop-by guests.
I would drop by all the time.
That's the thing.
I would drop by all the time. Every Tuesday, every Monday, I'd come by.
It's Mencia Mondays.
Yeah, we'd come by. Mencia Mondays would be great. Mondays. Yeah, we'd stop by for sure. Yeah, you would do great there.
Ralphie would go, hey, baby. I want to hit Starbucks. I'll bring it to you. I'll see you in a little bit. Come by. Oh, yeah. There'll be a lot of that going on.
Carlito. Carlito. He always forgets the S in Carlitos. That's him. Carlito.
Hey, Crasher. What did you say about Carlito? I love that guy. He's great. Oh, man. That would be fun. All right.
I would love to see you there.
We're just thinking about things. We'll see what happens. Carlos Mencia is here. Cisco is here. Cisco is my favorite because...
Because he's big and fat like you?
Yeah, we get along real well because he's the black me.
He was awesome.
Yeah, but he's not black, though, but he's the black me.
He's black.
Well, yeah. No, I'm not.
You accepted your blackness?
No, recently, no, because of all that's happening in the street. Dude, this guy just died like yesterday.
You can't even go to a Black Lives Matter thing because you don't admit you're black.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
So what happened yesterday?
Dude, some dude, his car broke down.
Yeah.
Cops, you know, they pulled up, had a gun. His arms were up, shot him, and he's done.
He's dead?
Yeah.
Why, though? Yeah. What do you think goes on? I
don't know.
I'll tell you what it is. It's really simple. Have you ever met a black guy?
Yeah.
That wasn't ghetto enough that everybody goes, he's not really black. He's white.
Right.
That's
right.
Why.
Yeah. But can I tell you, though, my son is 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I said to him, just out of the blue, I go, hey, Joe, you know that BB gun you have? And he goes, yeah. I go, if you're outside playing with it and you have it tucked like in your waistband and the police pull up and they go, put down your BB gun. What do? He goes, I put down my BB gun. I go, okay, that's just asking. He goes, why? I go, I just want to know.
Right.
You don't wave it at them and pretend you're going to shoot them with it? Right. And he's like, no. I go, okay. I just wanted to ask. That's why.
But the difference is you could do that. It's like you guys were talking earlier about that incident, you know, where incidents where people, you know, record the cops.
Oh,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, do subversive stuff. Those are all white people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're all, they've seen a YouTube video or a book. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know that there have been a million comics that have done a similar kind of joke, but it really happens because. Every minority that I know of, I've been pulled over by cops, and I'm like, yes, sir, no, sir. And my white friend Ted is going, I want to see your badge number. And I'm like, dude, he's not going to shoot you. Right. He's going to shoot me.
You'll get it.
Pie hole.
You're the one. Get it. Yeah.
But the difference in culture is real. Like, not anymore. Thank God, because I've done so many shows for cops and stuff like that, that now word's kind of gotten around.
You're golden, yeah.
Yeah, that they take care of me. Even across the country, they'll be like, oh, I heard you did something for the patrol here or whatever.
Right.
But before that, I'm telling you, man, if I saw lights,
yeah,
I got scared. I mean, it was because we've got our ass beat by cops for not doing anything all the time.
See, I don't know. I can't relate to that, obviously, because I'm not. Yeah, but when I was in New York, cops were specifically dicks to us when we were younger to try and, like, teach us a lesson.
Sure.
So I have an inherent respect for police.
Sure.
Not to mention the fact that I know what real money is.
Right.
And I know cops don't get nearly the amount of money for somebody that could get shot every day.
Right.
So when they pull me over, I do whatever I have to do to make their lives as easy as, well, you're going to give me a ticket? Give me a ticket, and we'll deal with it in court.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not going to fight with you about it.
Right.
So, and I feel like that makes my life easier as well.
I agree. Listen, we got pulled over in New York one time. And this was not too long ago. And the cop came over, and I was 2 o'clock and 10 o'clock.
Right.
And I left my hands there the whole time. And when the officer left, he started laughing at me. Cisco did. He's like, dude, you're a little bitch. You serious? And then the next day, that black guy got shot in Minneapolis or Minnesota.
Right.
And I go, that's why I did it.
Yeah.
And then his whole face just went like, dude, he...
Don't want to give him a reason.
She pulled you over because she wanted an autograph.
Well, I didn't know that at the time.
And you were still end up in the show.
Yeah. Yes. This fine Puerto Rican officer was like, you were speeding. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I was like, you want tickets to the show? It's not a bribe. It's not a bribe. That was me. It's like, it's not a bribe. It's not a bribe. You want tickets? And she came to the show.
But guess who didn't get a ticket?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. She gave me
a warning.
Yeah, but I still had to pay $25 and her ticket to the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't it the greatest feeling in the world when you don't have to drop some sort of hint? Hey, oh, I'm just on my way to a show. I'm Carlos Mencia. I do. You don't have to do that, but then they, like, I went flying through a toll booth one time, and they were like, you know what the speed limit is through the toll booth? I go, no, and they're like, it's 20 miles an hour. I go, well, that's an unreasonable amount of speed to go under the highway.
Right.
I was like annoyed by it. The guy was like, yeah, but you were doing like 84, and I go, oh, it's a big wide open space. Then he's like, are you Cowhead? And I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, you're cool, bro. I was like, see, that's the best. I didn't even have to go, well, officer, I was on my way to my popular radio
that's
show.
That's awesome.
That's the best thing. So.
Best one ever for me was I do a lot of stuff for the California Highway Patrol. And I was performing in Brea, which is about 56 miles from the Comedy Store.
Right.
And I had to get there in about 45 minutes. And I had to drive. So I was driving 90 miles an hour in a city. So, I think it's like 55 or 60 at the time. And the cop was pissed when he pulled me over. I mean, he was walking up, like, cursing at me. And he goes, do you have any idea? Oh, it's you, Carlos.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, he goes, I am sorry, man. I should have ran your plates. I'm sorry. He's like, where are you going? I go, I got a show that I got to do, and now I'm delayed, but it's cool. I won't speed. And he goes, no. Just go 90 miles an hour.
I'll call ahead. Let him know you're coming. Yeah.
He did. Yeah. And he called ahead and let him know. And like every so often, a cop would pull up and go, bloop, bloop. I was like, dude. And people, like my buddies next to me, were just looking at me like, you are a god.
Yeah,
bro.
That's a cool thing.
You are a god.
Yep.
And Bobby Lee was with me. And Bobby Lee goes, and this is why everybody hates you.
Man, I love that guy. He came here one time years ago. Had the greatest appearance and then just disappeared. Like, he never comes back here anymore.
I'll have him come back. He's just a weird cat.
Yeah,
weird
I know. Cat. That's why I love him.
He's one of the guys that all this crap started from. And so him and Ari used to be friends. Ari, who's 6'10", and he's tiny, beat the crap out of Bobby.
Oh.
So Bobby called me up, and he's like, hey, man, if you ever have the chance to give Ari work, don't give it to him. So we were shooting a sketch where we needed a Jesus, and Ari looks like Jesus.
Right.
And they had not booked him yet, but they told him, hey, put your time aside. we're probably going to hire you for this job. And that night I saw him at the Comedy Store and I was like, hey, Ari, why are you beating up little Bobby? And he goes, dude, I don't care. If I see him again, I'll punch him in the face.
Wow.
So at that moment, I called my guy and went, don't put him on the show. Anybody that's going to beat up a little kid like that, I want him on the show. So then, ironically, before that, Bobby Lee had asked me, hey, can my friend do some time on one of your shows as a guest spot? It was Ari. And that was the night I gave him that spot.
Oh, no kidding.
I was talking to my manager at the time where the TV was. We couldn't hear. And that was when I supposedly saw the fence joke from him and stole it. My agent, Matt, remembers this. Now, of course, I can't have my agent defend me because everybody's like, oh, yeah, your agent. I was like, of course he's fine. So then I was like, dude, you can't be on the show. And then after all this is when all of a sudden I stole his joke. And interestingly enough, when I said to Bobby, Bobby, you got to tell everybody, like, what you did. This is your fault.
Right.
Like, you got to. He said, okay, but I don't want to. And then he did it, and then he took it down because he's like, everybody's calling me something. He's like, oh, poor Bobby, just stop.
And yeah, he's mental.
Yeah, he's a poor guy. I mean, that poor guy used to have to play with himself before going on stage.
Oh, really?
He couldn't go on stage.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So,
that's how I started the show.
No, he had to. Like, literally, I'd be like, Bobby. And one time I opened the bathroom door and I heard, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing, bro? And he's like, bro, you didn't know? I'm like, what?
Well, you didn't know.
We all do that. Of course. I can't unless I release before I go on stage.
That is very interesting.
Do you at least wash your hands, bro?
He doesn't. Oh, that was... When Bobby was here,
he wrestled. He gets naked all the time.
He wrestled fat porn stars.
He what?
He wrestled. Look, there it is. It was him in Spanish versus a tag team of fat porn stars.
And he's completely naked.
By the way, we've known him for 5 minutes when this happened. He walked in the studio. He's not even through that door. Yeah. And I made some sort of comment. He made some sort of comment about his hair.
Yeah.
He has straight pubes, he said. He said, my hair is straight and I'm Asian. I have straight pubes.
Yeah.
Which is odd because everybody has curly pubes. I go,
not Asians.
Well, I said to him, you ever burn your hair on your arm with a lighter? It curls up right away. And he goes, really? He picks up a lighter and he starts burning his pubes to see if he can get him to curl. He's not even in the studio 30 seconds. He's already set his pubes on fire. I go, this is going to be the greatest interview ever.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's tag team wrestling fat porn stars.
He's
and
awesome.
He took this like it was WrestleMania.
Oh, he doesn't care.
No, he didn't care. Look at him. He's and then, and... He was nuts.
Dude. And I used to torture him, bro. So his dad used to beat him with a golf club.
Oh, Jesus.
So he hates golf. So one time we were doing a tour, and in the middle of the tour, I said, I'm going to kick you off the tour unless you go golfing with me. And I made him stay. I made him go to the golf course. Like, 4 hours of torture, bro. And I would walk up to him holding clubs and get real in his face.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to threaten him. I would just grab a club and get close to him. And he would flinch. And, oh, man, it was so bad. I've heard him say, like, how traumatic it was and how he hates me for it.
This is Carlos Mencia. Carlos has got a whirlwind Florida tour. He's in Visani tonight. Probably going to add an extra show because the show is sold out tomorrow. So he's probably going to add an extra show. So if you want to go, call the club, 941-629-9191. Then at the end of the week, headed out to Orlando.
At the Improv.
Where he's doing the Improv there. And then we'll be back here Halloween weekend. We should do something
fun. Is that a stupid week to come here for Halloween?
Because that weekend, no. Because
you guys
City,
have that crazy
Halloween.
You know what I'm going to do, though? Because I did this last year in Orlando, and it was pretty awesome, so I'll do it again. We'll have a contest, and the winner will get like $500 or $1,000. Out of my money, I'll give it to him.
Yeah, that's the best.
It was awesome.
Because they'll be out there. It'll be nuts out there in Ybor City alone.
Oh, yeah?
So And that's me. I'll go out there and watch the madness, but then I want to hide out. I'll go to the Improv or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I've never been out there. I've just heard it's crazy, so I can't wait.
You'll dig it. It's kind of like Robert Kelly once said that Atlantic City was Vegas with AIDS. So Ybor is kind of like Bourbon Street in New Orleans with like polio. It's just like a little sick.
With Zika?
We eventually we'll be able to cure it. We're not really sure.
Just a little slow. And you're hoping the kid doesn't come out with
exactly. Our phone number is 727-579-1025 or 1-800-771-1025. Maddie, you're on with Carlos Mencia. What do you got, Maddie?
Hi, Carlos. How are you?
Hi, beautiful. Great.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you so much because I moved down here 14 years ago. And when I moved here, it was in 2002. And one of my, or actually two of my friends, they're twins. Their sister, who was 4 years older than us, she died on United Flight 175 September 11th.
Uh-huh.
And you were in the middle of your set, and apparently there was a thunderstorm going on, and you were talking about, like, Ahmed.
Yeah.
And you were just like, oh, my God, Ahmed is here, because, like, all the lights went out in the club.
Oh, wow.
And, like, the fire alarms turned on. And I was just like, that was the first time that I really, like, laughed about it. And I just wanted to thank you so much for it because you kind of set the tone for me living here in Florida. And you kind of, like, made me be able to laugh at that again. Not that, you know, I mean.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
I thought you were mocking it.
I did a very serious situation. And inevitably, I said something that made you see it from a funny perspective. I get it. Yeah, next time Bert Kreischer calls in, I thank him because I stole that whole premise from him. I took that whole premise from him.
That was great.
What you don't know that is 3 months before that, a thunderstorm happened right in the middle of Bert's set, and he yelled out Ahmed.
Yeah, yeah. He laughs at the hurricanes. Carlos just stole that. I got it.
But I am going to die. You know what? I will say this. I am going to take your idea and do it a little bigger. About your kid, what I heard earlier, your kid reading the hate mail.
All the mean tweets. Yeah.
I'm gonna tweak
Thank
that.
Thank you, Maddie.
Because I'm gonna have I have a sister. I have a few family members now that you know, have gone through serious issues medically speaking, and I have been able to work it out and help them.
Uh-huh.
But I'm gonna pretend that I couldn't.
Okay.
So I'm going to have them saying, like, all you people that hate my brother, I have a heart condition.
Right.
And there's a hole in my heart, and he would have had money if it wasn't for you.